Hi everyone.
Hi Brian.
So I'm sharing my testimony tonight. Yeah. To be frank, I was a little nervous coming here. I might still be a little now. But especially worshiping just now, there is that peace and excitement now, sharing with you all my testimony, right? But really, what God's been doing in me. And as I was reflecting and preparing about what to share, the Lord asked me, do you love the church? Are you willing to lay down your pride? Are you willing to put aside notions about maintaining your image or anything and just talk to people, people that you know and people that you don't know too? And I thought about it, and I answered with yes. So here I am. I guess, for those of you who don't know me especially, I guess I'll start with how I met God then, right? That's part of the testimony. I guess quick overview. I wasn't brought up in a Christian household. My parents didn't come to Christ until early on in my high school years, when they were overcoming some marital struggles. So it was only then when I got an inkling of an idea about what church was. I went now and then because my aunt and uncle brought me, and I knew a little bit about who God was, how he was holy, and whatever that meant, right? But pretty much didn't care. And then I came here. And I came to Bethany, right? For those of you who don't know, Bethany was the first church that I ever went to here on my own, and it's the last one. What happened was kind of funny, because coming here as a freshman, it was really helpful for me personally, because I think having that time away from home, being away from that place of lawlessness and darkness, I guess, really gave me that precious time to really reflect on the big things, right? Kind of the almost existential and naive questions, right? Like, what's the point? Why am I here? Why do I have to work so hard? What is love? Right? Yeah, and that was very valuable. And honestly, I look back in hindsight, right? And it could only be God prodding me. But even after all that, what I came to conclude was there really was only one place in the world that even offered some kind of definitive answer to all these questions, and that place was the Word. Maybe it's because I only had some kind of background in Christianity, maybe if my parents were Buddhist or I had some Hindu friends or whatever, but that's not the case, so I'm not gonna talk about that. But that's how it worked out. So towards end of second semester, I had lunch with a mutual friend, and they were friends with a brother and sister in my year, so we were freshmen at the time, right? And that was such a provision from God, because if they didn't invite me to Bethany, I don't think I'd be here. God knew I was lazy. So, yeah, that was great. And it was so fun for me coming here to Bethany for the first time, too, because that was when we were still in the One World room. It was kind of like hot and muggy. It was easy to nap, right? Some of you know. And first time, you know, I heard Pastor John speak, and I don't know if he's short in his sermons, but I felt like it was like closer almost hour 45, 2 hours during those times? I don't know. You guys can confirm for me. But I remember talking to some of my brothers after the first time, and they were like, oh, so what'd you think? And I know it was kind of long, so maybe you napped or something, but I was like, no, I thought it was great. It was very, very insightful. I have no background in the Word whatsoever, but I feel like there's got to be some truth in that. He keeps using the Word. That has to be kind of legit, right? And it really just went from there. I was almost even surprised at myself, right? To be frank, I came into Bethany especially not to make friends. I already had people to hang out with. I already had a bunch of circles of friends, right? So it definitely wasn't like an expectation of mine. Not that I was avoiding relationships or anything, but it wasn't that. Bethany wasn't that to me. I never grew up with community, so maybe that played a part in it too. I just didn't have like a concept or even a desire for it then, right? So why did I come? I came because of this. I really came because I knew I was learning something. And that shocked me, really. I didn't think someone who's coming for the first time, right, could read the word and be like, oh, wow. That in of itself is a miracle of God, isn't it? I mean, I think about the stories I hear, right, about how people convert to Christianity, and it's like, they're in, like, the pit, right? They have nothing else. They're just completely destitute, right? And then, boom, Holy Spirit comes, and then all of a sudden they're just praising God, right? I used to think that was, like, the miracle, right? But after some reflection, I thought about how I started getting to know God and how you can just literally sit down, read the Bible, and learn about God, who He is, and just get so attracted to Him and see how appealing He is. And gradually and slowly, it doesn't have to be some one-shot, lightning-strike conversion thing. You could literally talk to God, get to know Him, and decide, oh, wow, you're really cool. Can I get to know you more? That's beautiful. That, to me, was a miracle. So, just going back to earlier, I told you guys how I was nervous even to talk about this, to like, oh, share my testimony, right? But I'm not here to entertain anyone. I'm not here to make a speech or anything. And even when I thought about it, it's miraculous that I even have a testimony to share, right? I'm glad that there is a testimony to share other than not, right? Because this is proof that God is indeed working in me first, that salvation is coming, and that's exciting. Yeah. Well, freshman year. I'm not going to go through like every painstaking year. Bouncing around. But I guess things were really, really legit in sophomore year when, at the end, I got baptized. And it was super cool. I realize now that it's just like a nice thing. It doesn't mean like you level up to like holy level 10 or anything. But it was super nice and it was super cold. Yeah, Pastor John knows. Yeah, he baptized me in a creek thing. And I don't know if you remember this, Pastor John, but my family actually drove up from Jersey as well to attend my baptism. And my uncle came as well, and he was finishing up seminary at the time too. And I guess before that, I was talking to Pastor John about, you know, should I get baptized? And I heard it's like a thing you do when you're Christian, right? So he just kind of asked me some questions, and we cleared it through. And I'm like, oh, okay, so how's it going to go down then? I mean, I saw on Sunday, sometimes you kind of do the little this, and you say, oh, everyone, you know, flowers, I guess it's part of it too. And so, is it going to be like that? And he said, yeah, we can do that. Or we can do full immersion baptism. That's dope, I'm down, okay. So we get to the day, right? And I'm pretty sure Pastor John confirmed for me. But I thought I overheard him talking to my uncle, right? Pastor talk. And I thought Pastor John told my uncle, this is my first full immersion baptism. And I can believe it after we like went in and kind of, But yeah, I just shared that because it was a joy, really. It was just fun. It was exciting to really, I guess, seal the deal in a way, right? It was such a clear moment for me that this is what being a Christian, this is what being a child of God is like. It's enjoyable. It's so much laughter, so much goodness, so much excitement, so much to look forward to. It was kind of cold and painful too, so that helped remind me. But yeah, that was such a great experience for me. I'm so happy that those of you attended joined me as well in sharing that. And from that point on, I really did consider myself a disciple at that point, right? So we always learn here in Bethany, you know, we're not just churchgoers, we're not nominal Christians, blah, 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 we're the disciples, right? And that's cool. Yeah, it's not just like a synonym for a Christian or anything, right? Like, I just think it's cool to be a disciple. It's actually like a thing. It's not some, you're like, you're not like a student and then you're, oh, I gotta go to church too. It's like, no, I'm a disciple, really. this is what I study, this is what I live by, and he's the guy I answer to, and I talk to, and I love, right? All these things, these revelations, these blessings just started barraging me during junior year onward. If I were to share with you guys like every revelation I had, which I do want to talk about after, but I'm told I only have 15, 20 minutes, so I try to be a little selective, right? But this year, whenever I read in the Bible, the heart of man is so desperately wicked. Who can understand it? And we get this preached to as well. Like, we're sinners. You're terrible. You're worse than terrible. You're like dumb, worms. There's nothing good about you. It never really got to me. I understood. You know, yeah, I'm a sinner. Yeah. But, oh. This semester, particularly, that got real. I'm sure you guys have experienced this too, but the reality of sin is actually very horrifying. Yeah, especially the one sentence that God has been thrusting upon me repeatedly this semester has been, pride runs deep. Again, I was reading the Bible, like, pride is such a bad thing. It's almost like the root of everything, right? Again, that never really got through to me. And it wasn't even like a prayer request, too. I didn't learn that and be like, oh, God, could you show me? Because I'm not an idiot. But he did, and I'm glad. Because like Pastor John said, right, until we realize how sinful we actually are, we can't really appreciate or even understand how much we need a Savior. And that's directly related to how much we will love God and how much we will surrender to his goodness and his good plan even for us specifically, right? Oh, I just think about like all the, just how I've been and how I am now, even like how I approach schoolwork even. I try to wrestle it all the way down to like the very core of it. And that's what I find, really, pride. I really don't mean to sound like a broken record, but that's just one thing I really wanted to share with you guys now. This pride in us is so terrible, really. I mean, even the fact that that's what brought us here. But that was the only thing I learned, because that'd be really depressing if it was. We don't stay in this place. This revelation has a purpose. And as I said before, it's meant to bring us up. And that's what it's done for me. I think I'm more prideful now, but I think it's only because I notice it and I recognize it, right? So given that, that means before, right before college, before I came to know Christ, I was really, really, really prideful. And when I thought about it, I'm like, yeah, that's pretty much true. Before, I really was living in darkness, and I experienced what that really meant when the Bible talks about those who haven't known Jesus yet, you're dead. There's no life in you. You live in darkness. You're blinded by it. You're just stumbling around. I think about my life before I came to Christ, and I just have to say and testify that's so true. I mean, me personally, I never really did much before. I literally just went to school, did my work, came back, did my homework, right? Played some video games, or a lot of video games. You know, maybe talk to my mom, like, every 3 days or something, and then just go to sleep and rinse and repeat. But the thing I remember was, well, not playing video games, or I beat one and the next one didn't come out yet. In those intermittent times, right, when we call it boredom, right? We're sitting there and, you know, maybe you did all your homework, you're just procrastinating, and there's just not much to do. No one to talk to, your friends are away on vacation with the family, and you're just kind of sitting there. If you're really dramatic, you're sitting in the dark, like me. But yeah, there's just nothing, right? And I had another revelation, right? We call that boredom. But I reflect upon it now, and I had this really scary realization that that wasn't me being bored. That was me being godless. Or loveless or purposeless. right? I don't want to do anything. I don't even want to like bring food to my mouth and eat it. Like, the Bible talks about that, that's how lazy we are. But yeah, knowing that that was the defining characteristic of my life beforehand, it just stunned me, truly. And that made me worship God even more. Because after I met Christ, there's none of that anymore. Or at least no pattern. I still get bored because not sanctified fully yet. You know, we sang about it. But yeah, that pattern, that I don't live in that sin anymore. I don't get bored. I'm not godless anymore. I'm not. And I'm not alone either. That's another big struggle that I carried over with as well. That lack of community, that lifestyle of self-indulgence, selfishness. Yeah, I still don't really have a great concept of like relying on people, asking people for help, even though I know they can help. It's so bad to the point where like, even though I know someone can be helpful, like, if I go to sleep and wake up the next day, it just slips out of my mind. It's like I never even had that thought. I just literally don't think about other people. I'm just going about my day, doing my own thing. And that sucks. But praise be to Jesus that one of his commandments was, remember. Because now I remember. I'm not alone. We're in this room, even as I'm talking now. I know God is listening because this is for his glory and for my joy and for all of our joy. I had a brother ask me yesterday, would you say you're still a young Christian? My immediate response was, yeah, duh, 2 years. But then I laid my pride down, right? The false humility and all that. I really thought about it. I mean, as I was talking about earlier, as I'm studying more of the Word, as I'm growing closer to God, the sin just won't stop coming out. The realization, the revelation, the pain, the embarrassment, it won't stop. So just by that alone, I would say, yeah, I would be lying if I said I wasn't a young Christian, right? I know I am. But at the same time, studying the Word, learning about what a maturing Christian looks like, I think those are signs. We're being taught our place. We're being taught who we actually are. So after thinking about all that and realizing that, yes, even after all this, I still get so much joy and warmth from that, then I was able to actually say verbally, yeah, I am. And that's how it is. And I'm excited for what's to come. At this point in my life, like I said, it's only been 2 years. Pretty much 2 years, yeah. So not too long of a time. And to be frank, too, I still have a lot of other things. And in addition to God, if you can follow me, you know, the whole idolatry thing. You know, I have comfort, I have food, I have, you know, Cornell, I have some video games still. I have other stuff. And not to say like these provisions can't be, you know, handled with responsibility and still be enjoyed appropriately, right? But for me, myself, I still consider, yeah, I still have a lot of other things. And you guys heard this too, like, you don't know if you love Jesus until he's all you have or something like that. Yeah, and just, I could say I haven't been brought to like a point of such desperate and broken circumstances yet. Like, I'm not homeless or anything, or I'm not suffering such visible familial or financial instability or anything. So I haven't been afflicted by anything like that yet. I haven't experienced that. But I think that statement is kind of true. And because of that, I think, yeah, that actually does speak something about how much do I actually value Jesus at that point. So it still, you know, might be, and I think it's like not a whole bunch, just by like virtue of truth, right? And I'm okay with that. God is just telling me. But I know even now, I am still getting that ever-blooming joy, comfort, security, and excitement that is to be had in a relationship with God. And it's obnoxiously visible too. I mean, I'll just say it right now, I don't know if some of you kind of noticed me in worship recently this past semester, but for those of you who did, I kind of look like a maniac. I'm not going to replicate it now because that'd be really, really weird. But, and what God taught me from that was, before what I knew about worship, what I understood, right, was, you know, contextualize. There's a way to worship, right? Like, well, kind of straight, but not too stiff. No more than 9 degrees, and like, not above the shoulder, right? That's how I used to worship, and I thought, yeah, proper form, right, all that cool stuff. But at some point, I couldn't do it anymore. I just started moving in really weird ways that only I do, I guess. But why? Why? Is it because, I don't know. But what God taught me was, I am a child of God. And that's so many things, right? Chief one being, we're dependent upon God for everything, right? But even our conception of what a child is, right? Just being, you know, oblivious to people's judgments and just singularly enjoying your parent, right? What he taught me this semester was the beginning of really how to worship him, really. And what that looks like for me personally is singing, yeah, and dancing too. I mean, me personally, I am, I guess, kind of an expressive person, and I do like dancing. So for me, that's what it comes out as. And even though, you know, especially coming from my background, right, I always try to keep like a cool, aloof image, right, as stupid as that sounds. That's where I'm coming from, right? But for me to be humble to this point, it really, really, really helped me worship God, because I came to the realization, right, that you can't be cool before God. You just can't. I don't care where you got your coat or where you got your haircut, right? You just can't. So I'm like, well, screw this then. Just dancing and just enjoying God, whatever that looks like. Of course, I've also learned that doesn't like kick away proper worship and stuff, so that's why you usually find me in the back, not like punching a Not that I would anyway. But yeah, just this rejoicing here, rejoicing in another fellowship, rejoicing in another church, rejoicing in another community, college, family, rejoicing all the time. Not to negate or, you know, avert our gaze from like the pain and the suffering on that, right? But I really praise Jesus for helping me remember that all this is for my joy, for our joy as well. Like I said, it's only been 2 years. But I check myself all the time and ask, what do I really want? Or what is there even? And I always find myself saying, and I'm pretty sure it's not mechanical either, but just, there's nothing except God. There's nothing but the Word, really, in like the most, I don't know, naive, sentimental way you could say it. There's really just nothing except God. There's nothing to enjoy more than Him. Nothing I have, if I even have anything else remaining, right? And for Him to be glorified as the true King, for His name to be made known. 2 years, right? I'm still learning what that means, but I'm really finding that is approaching to be what my central desire is. Again, it's such a miracle that we could even make more than 50% of our life about God at this point. Because it's still mostly thinking about us day in and day out, really. It truly is a work of God that He can make us think about Him, how He's the main character of the story, really. I could begin to be in this place of self-forgetfulness and really think about all my actions, all my choices, all my relationships, right? So how does this affect God? He's really like a person in my life now. Everything I do, there's an effect on Him. It's not just oh, I wonder what the people affecting me think about me. Oh, I wonder what the people, my family think about me. Oh, I wonder what my friends would think about me. No, it's, what would God think? And that played out for me when I thought about when I sinned, right? Most of the time is, how does that reflect how people see me? And I can avoid all of this, I don't care, right? So I could just go on sinning, whatever. But you can't escape God. And isn't he the one that I do care about, right? Knowing that all the sin that we do sins against him first, that was just like another last revelation for me that I just got recently, so I'm still digesting and processing and figuring out how to apply it, right? Because that's the most important part, applying it to our lives. Like I said, there's just so much more to share. Definitely not enough time. But like I said in the beginning, I am speaking this for his glory's sake. Because if I didn't, that'd be kind of a waste. So I hope that the little that I shared about what the Lord is doing was able to, you know, make you laugh and stuff, but also to give you true encouraging joy and just motivation to just keep going to get closer to God. I wasn't sure if I was going to say this because it was kind of cheesy, but even though I know some of you more than others and some of you I've never spoken to ever, you are the church. We are one body in Christ. So I do love you guys. And any way I could continue to show that and, you know, serve or learn or anything in the rest of the remainder of the time here, you know, next semester, that's what I want. That's what I'm looking forward to. So even though I might still be, you know, kind of a loner guy, I'm still getting to know some of you guys. That's where I am now. I really do want to, yeah, be part of the church, be part of my adopted family. And I want to close this time with just a quick few passages from James and 2 Peter that pretty much describe where I am right now. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen.